Morning.
Morning.
The January 24th meeting of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority will now come to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Are there any questions, comments, or is there a motion? Then we have a motion and a second to move approval of the agenda. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We also have before us the minutes from the December 13th board meeting. Are there any comments, questions?
Would they be accepted as presented?
We have a motion that they be accepted as presented, seconded. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We now have the report of the Riders Advisory Council, and we are pleased to have with us at her very first meeting as chair, Ms. Iacomini. Congratulations to you.
And I am pleased to present you with the January report of the Riders Advisory Council. I was introduced. I am Nancy Iacomini. I am the newly elected chairman. And so I just haven't had a full first meeting of myself. So much of what I will say today are my own ideas that I have not yet fully discussed with the RAP membership. I would also like to say that Tony Dockmore of the District of Columbia is our first vice chair. And Pat Sheehan, is our third vice chair, or first or second, however that works. I also want to say a bit about myself so you all know. I've been in Washington area, specifically Arlington, for 20 years. And I've probably ridden the Metro at least almost every business day in at least one direction since then, and many times on the weekend. So I have a lot of experience in being in the seat. Well, very grateful that I can be on the Riders Advisory Council because of that. Also, I grew up in Pittsburgh, and the old trolley system there was literally in our backyard. We had a stop at the end of my yard. And so I rode that quite a bit growing up. And in fact, my first report in second grade was on the Port Authority Transit. So it's probably just kismet that I get to stand here today, not writing in crayon anymore. I have my letter before you. I don't want to go over it word by word, but I want to emphasize that I believe Metro and the RAP together should focus, and I know will focus, our goals for 2008 on service quality and probably meaningful positive improvements to the passenger experience. I know the board is committed to providing a better rider experience to everyone, and the RAP very much wants to help with this. As I said, the RAP will be discussing some of the ideas that I will put forward today, but I also know that we'll be coming up with others. Clearly, Metro does need to move forward with addressing concerns raised by both the RAP over the last 2 years and those by customers that were heard at the fare increase hearings, although those hearings talked about what we heard. I was at two of those meetings. We all have some ideas in our head. One of the things that I think that RAP could help Metro with is the customer expectation plan and performance measures. I attended this month's committee board meetings and heard substantial discussion about Metro's performance measures, how to improve the actual numbers Metro achieves, as well as how to ensure that what is reported accurately reflects a customer's experience while riding the system, be it bus, rail, Metro access. Comprised of riders, the RAP is in the unique position to help with it. We'd like to work with Mr. Cato and his staff as they prepare a customer expectation plan, which was also mentioned, I believe, during this month's committee meeting. This may take the form of staff RAP work sessions, or perhaps the convening of town hall meetings hosted jointly by the RAP and WMATA. The meetings should not be general in nature, but really focus on specific service issues, and perhaps examine how they relate to the formation of the upcoming O9 budget. SmartTrip is another area in which RAP has a great interest. WMATA makes a transition to getting passengers to use SmartTrip. I think there are some areas that really haven't fully been explored, and RAP would like to ensure the transition for the increased usage is as smooth as possible and structured in such a way as to be convenient for riders in both the use of the cards as well as obtaining and reloading them. RAP would be very helpful in identifying additional loading of SmartTrip cards by either credit or cash. members have raised the concern that those adding cash to the bus, on the bus, to their required smart trip cards will create lines for those waiting to board the bus. We need to have areas for people to effectively upload their smart trip cards without holding everybody up. A possible solution to this would be to locate ad fare locations near busy bus stops and make sure the ad fare machines there take cash. We're working on that. Customer communications. A lot of discussion in 2007 about improving communications with customers. And I might make a slight riff on this topic this morning, having been one of the people stuck at both Ballston and Virginia Square because of a report of smoke at the Clarendon Station this morning. I think we were about an hour late. And I know there's some staff in the office that experienced the same thing. So I and others, and put out a call for some other folks to sit and talk about timely announcements, email messages. I would like to say that I really did think some of the supervisors and people with whom I had contact stepped up to the plate. There's still a lot to be done, and I think there's something good to build on. I also would like to continue helping the bus border studies. We think that was very successful. Another aspect is rail car design. I know Mr. Kubitschek had shown things at the subcommittee meetings. Oh, Rand Holder must be no more, right? Okay. And we would like to continue to work with Mr. Kubitschek. I should say that in 2006, there were a group from the Riders Advisory Council that did help with looking, scoping out some things for the 7,000 rail cars. I sort of thought that had gotten lost in the mix. I do believe Mr. Kubitschek has given us a document, the RAC, that said, no, it hasn't. It was just sort of a chart that was in a little more engineer-ese than I'm used to, about 39 things wrapped into other things. So we hope to build on that experience and help. And my letter to you, since I've gone on a little too long. Thank you all.
Thank you very much, Ms. Giacomini, and congratulations to you. We all look forward to working with you. The next item on our agenda is the public comment period. I have two people signed up. Each speaker gets 2 minutes. Each speaker gets 2 minutes, and I should have announced this before, 2 minutes, 30 seconds before your time is up. Ms. Lowry Scott will show the yellow folder, and then the red one will go up at the conclusion of your time. Okay, the first speaker we have is Michael Carrington.
Good morning, everyone. I circulated a brief letter that I think you all have.
You can raise that, yeah.
All right. Good morning. I circulated a letter that I think you all have. Basically, the contents were just that over the weekend on Saturday, I went to use my Smart Trip card. My girlfriend followed me, used her Smart Trip card. I guess it didn't catch, and about 5 minutes later, two Metro employees physically grabbed her, brought her up the escalator, and I tried to say, you know, what's going on here? And they were very rude. They said she was a criminal. Basically, a lot of rudeness caused a lot of scene. They said she was trying to break the law, that this should be a $50 fine for both of us. It was a very minor, could have been a very minor incident. It could have just been, Miss, ma'am, please go through this again. Instead, it kind of became a larger incident. Again, I have that all in the letter. They're also rude about giving their names. Sanders and Allen were their two names. That's basically it. I just wanted to bring that to the attention. I thought on holiday weekend, making a scene like that was a little absurd, especially given, you know, it's $1.60 if we missed all the time. I don't understand what was going on. I thought maybe some sensitivity training could be in order. Again, this was a pretty big incident that did.
Thank you, Mr. Carrington. We've also talked with our Assistant General Manager, Holly Hansen, who's actually had the opportunity to speak with you, I believe, a little bit, and she is looking into this, so we're sorry that experience took place.
It was a minor incident, but just not the way people should be treated.
Thank you very much for sharing this with us.
Madam
Chairman. I'm sorry.
I trust the board will be receiving a report from the General Manager, Ms. Hansen, following up on this.
Well, now.
The next speaker is Elizabeth Orlan.
Everyone, my name is Elizabeth Orlan, and I'm from the George Washington University, and I am in the George Washington University Student Association. I'm here representing representing 145,000 students in the DC metropolitan area of 11 universities. We are riders of the Metro to school, to work, to internships, and just to explore DC. We would like to encourage you, the WMATA, Riders Advisory Council, the Board of Directors, the staff, to support a student discount as stated in the letter before you. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to meeting with you all in the future.
Thank you very much for your comments, Ms. Orland. Okay. The next item on the agenda, item six, is the report of the chair. In the interest of time, I'm going to save my comments until the later on in the meeting when I willingly pass the gavel over to Mr. Zimmerman. And I will do the two fun things that are listed on my agenda, items A and B, the very first being acknowledgement of former board members. Each board stands on the shoulders of every previous board, and it's like building blocks. The others have really paved the way and done some very good things. And then, you know, Peter Benjamin and I have come along on the heels of the two Maryland, former Maryland representatives who are here today, and we stand on your shoulders. So I'd like, without further ado, to have them come up. And I know we have some tokens for you. I'm going to call Ray Briscuso to the front and Charlie Deegan. And I guess I can do this up here, right? Okay. Sorry.
Again? Right.
So, while they're making the round, I'm not going to say too much to point out who's who. Let's just say the darker haired one. Riding the system, and it was said of him that there was not a bus or rail line that he hadn't ridden, and that to the frontline employees of Metro, his most fitting legacy was that they had direct contact to the board through him. So I, too, have known Charlie for a long time. We've worked and lived and worked in Prince George's County, so we've been active and actually had to work together for many years, so it's my honor to thank him. And I knew I had, I won't talk about the size of your feet, but I knew I had big shoes to fill.
I felt like we hired you, and I deserted the ship right away. The day I left. But time for me, and
working on. Always nice to be able to sit.
I'm going to introduce to everyone Jeffrey McKay, who is here today. He was actually at the last committee meetings, and he, just to observe, but he actually gets sworn in today. And I know that Mr. Kane is going to address a little bit more in his remarks, but I do have to administer the oath of office. And I guess I should do them separately, so I would like to invite Mr. McKay on up. I, Jeffrey McKay, do hereby solemnly swear, that I will support the Constitution of the United States, that I will be faithful, bear allegiance, Commonwealth of Virginia, support the Constitution and laws thereof, that I will, to the best of my skill and judgment, diligently and faithfully, without partiality or prejudice, execute the office of alternate director, Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
Of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority.
According to the Constitution. Laws of this state.
And laws of this state.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Of alternate director replacing our own inimitable Catherine Hudgens because she's got a new assignment. So we're going to invite her right on down because she's taking the place of Dana Kaufman, who served us so ably. And she is the principal director, and she's been serving on the board for so many years and has done a yeoman's job and has actually helped me very much this year, and I'm so glad to have her. So without further ado, please repeat after me. I, Catherine Hudgens.
I, Catherine Hudgens.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
Do hereby solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And that I will be faithful.
And that I will be faithful.
And bear allegiance.
And bear allegiance.
To the Commonwealth of Virginia.
To the Commonwealth of Virginia.
And support the Constitution and laws thereof.
Support the Constitution and the laws.
And that I will,
and that I will,
to the best of my skill and judgment,
to the best of my skill and judgment,
diligently and faithfully,
diligently and faithfully,
without partiality or prejudice,
without partiality or prejudice,
execute the office,
execute the office,
of principal director,
of principal director,
of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority,
of the Washington Metropolitan,
according to the Constitution and laws of this state,
according to the Constitution and the laws.
And I know that if any of the board members have any comments, so please feel free, and or you'll have opportunity later also on the agenda. And if not, we will hear from the general manager, Mr. Cato.
Madam Chair, in the interest of time as well as in the celebrations, I would like to move up to the first comment about our employee spotlight. Each month we try to spotlight the work, or we do, of Metro employees and how they are working to make us the best ride in the nation. These employees do their job, and they do their jobs well, but they don't stop just there. They go up above and beyond what's expected, and this month's employee is no exception. And I would like to ask that Mr. Robert Johnson please come up here to the center. If you could stand here. No, right here in the center. You're going to be in the spotlight, my friend. Again, we're putting the spotlight on Mr. Robert Johnson. Mr. Johnson has been a mechanic with Metro for more than 26 years, and he is currently assigned to the Metro Center Metro Rail Station. His job is to be ready to rapidly respond to rail service disruptions caused by mechanical problems and to get us running back running as soon as possible. While he's waiting for trouble caused from the various trains or from the control center, he's constantly watching the platform to determine if there are other needs. He's looking and listening for sounds of mechanical trouble on the trains that move to the stations, but mechanical problems aren't the only problems that he fixes. He's also on the lookout for ways to help our customers complete their trips, so he's added some extra tools to his toolbox. He also carries pocket maps, when he sees customers who look like they need help, he engages with them, distributing the maps, providing directions, essentially making sure they have a smooth trip. He is so active on the platform that some has even mistaken him for a station manager. This sort of attention to customer service by every employee of Metro is our goal, and we want to recognize Mr. Johnson for his fine work and the high standards that he's setting for all of our employees. He is an example of what Metro employees can and will accomplish over the coming years. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Johnson, for your work. And Madam Chair, if you could join us, if we give this certificate to Mr. Johnson for his outstanding performance. Madam Chair, I, again, he is on it for what he's paid to do, but he's one of those employees who really step up way beyond the requirements of the job, and he's very customer focused. Again, continuing my remarks, this morning, Director Zimmerman and I were at the Senate building to provide comments to a panel of the governor as well as the elected officials from the Commonwealth of Virginia, both United States senators as well as representatives from Northern Virginia, the Secretary of Transportation, and the Federal Transit Administrator concerning the Dulles Project. And our comments were in response to some concerns from the administrator about our abilities to operate that system. And that hearing is probably still underway, but we did make our comments, and we're awaiting the decision of the FTA administrator and the Secretary of Transportation and determining if they will determine that project will move forward. So that's something that we're waiting, hopefully it'll happen soon. In addition, yesterday, the National Transportation Safety Board held hearings on the tragic accidents that took the lives of Metro employees near DuPont Circle and Eisenhower Avenue Metro Rail Station in 2006. As I've said many times, the death of any Metro employees hurts us all deeply, and we won't rest until Metro is the safest transit system in the country. To accomplish that, we have instituted more than a dozen new procedures to prevent future accidents like those. We have also asked to be the first transit agency in the country to participate in a Federal Transit Administration Track Walker Safety Pilot Program. And as you all know, we began an agency-wide safety improvement program that will reduce employee injuries and accidents by 50% by 2012. Compliance with safety rules will become second nature at Metro. Also this weekend, I have a couple of pictures to show you. Over the long weekend, Metro crews undertook the first half of the platform structure rehabilitation work on the Red Line Bridge at the Metro Center Metro Rail Station. This work included the installation of new pads supporting the north side of the Red Line Bridge over the blue and orange lines. This project went very well. It was well communicated. I'm sure most people, if not all, knew about it. And we will finish the second half of this project on President's Day next month. The first picture is just showing that we had to take up all the tile that's on the platform. If we can move to the next slide, please. These are the jacks you can see under the platform to support it. Next. And these are the major jacks that really lift up the bridge by 4 inches. And what's the capacity of these? Go ahead.
You take over from here. 100, these were 100-ton jacks each, required to lift this corner of the platform up 4 inches. And the next slide just shows how the jack is in place with the steel plate to make this lift that took place on Saturday morning. And next slide. Essentially, at the top of the jacks, there's a black strip, and Mr. Cato mentioned the pad. The pad that's in there to carry the weight of the passengers walking across this bridge is an inch thick, and has been reduced after over 30 years of service, and it's estimated that over 600 million people have used the station at that time. That pad had been reduced to a quarter inch. So it was time definitely to go into repair. We came back to the board about a year ago and got approval from you to do this this improvement, and it went, we believe, very smoothly over the weekend. Michelle, the next. Essentially, this is just a picture that the both ends of the platform now have been raised 3/4 of an inch with the new pad. The platform is back in place, and the next picture will show that the tile was beginning to be replaced on Monday, and the next slide shows Tuesday morning, the start of service, that this 80-foot section of this platform had been raised. The new pad had been placed in, and the tile had been replaced, and things were ready for service. The good news is we believe that we had tremendous coordination within Metro, within the different departments, and I compliment media and the press for their continued coverage over the weekend and letting people know that there could be up to a 30-minute delay. I don't think that took place most of the time. But again, this was a major repair that the board authorized a year ago. Is complete, and the good news, it's complete. The bad news is that over the President's Day weekend, we want to do exactly the same thing on the platform on the other side.
Thank you. Any questions on that? No? Okay, finally, I'd like to thank all the Metro employees who have been working and to minimize the inconvenience to our customers. Yes?
Madam Chair? I'm sorry. Madam Chair? Could I just ask how much this cost, just to give everyone an idea of what kind of...
So $1.3 million for both sides. So this was the first half, 1.3 total.
I think it's important to point that out because people know the kind of burden that this is imposing, even though it's absolutely necessary work, the type of thing that we have to do. So thank you.
Thank you. Chair, this week marks my first anniversary at Metro, and I'd like to thank the board for your support during the past year. I know we've dealt with several challenging issues, but we created a working relationship that would help us meet the challenges of the future as well. I was once told that, you know, after your first year, the honeymoon is over. That was some honeymoon. The challenges that we face will take many forms, but we can place any of them in three categories, and these categories are safety, reliability, and customer service. I have touched earlier on safety, but I want to assure the board and the public and Metro employees that we're committed to improving our performance in all of these categories, of reliability especially. And as mentioned by the new chair of the Riders Advisory Committee, we are working on a customer expectation document, and we will work with the Riders Advisory Committee as well as hold town hall meetings and members of the board to outline clearly what are the expectations that our employees should have concerning our services and our customers concerning our services and how our employees carry through their duties. And Madam Chair, that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments?
Ms. Hudgens. Yes, Mr. Cato, you reported on your meeting, or you indicated that you were leaving a meeting earlier today with the Federal Transit Administration and the congressional delegation and others. And I would just like to make sure that there's an understanding here of your participation there and what may have been conveyed, because the media writes its expectations of what the discussion would be about. And one of the expectations was whether or not Metro is prepared to take on an extension, and whether or not the cost and operation of that is something that is a consideration. And I'd like to know what may have been your comments in there.
That's my comments, and as I said, Director Zimmerman was there also. I reiterated the importance of this project, and that is indicated by your resolution on June 28th of 2007, passed by this board, we have the financial capacity to operate the system both from an operating and a capital standpoint. In addition, I reassured, hopefully reassured, the congressional group as well as leadership, as well as the FTA and the Federal Transit Administration, that we've been involved in this project from the beginning. And there were adjustments and agreements made that this is a key project to this region. We support it. We're capable of operating it, and we look forward to it being built and operating that system. And Director Zimmerman was there and made comments, and you might have other things to add to that.
Yes, Mr. Zimmerman?
I think it, first, just to make clear, WMATA was not principally the subject of the meeting. We were there in support. It was a meeting really between the leadership of the Commonwealth and the governor and the Secretary of Transportation principally. The congressional delegation, both senators and the three members of Congress who represent Northern Virginia, and the head of the Airports Authority also, Mr. Bennett, which is responsible for the construction, with Secretary Peters and Administrator Simpson. And some of the issues involved WMATA more directly, and Mr. Cato and I responded to those and essentially gave the message, as Mr. Cato indicated, that WMATA is ready. The Commonwealth is ready. The Airports Authority is ready. We're really just waiting for the okay. We reiterated what this board's action was last June, and following a whole string of approvals, obviously, here, but frankly, at every level. I think the FDA itself has given approval to this project 15 times already, and $145 million has been spent. As we indicated, all the studies that we have done indicate both that the region and the system have the financial capability to move forward with the project, the technical ability to run it, and that when in place, it should be a very high-performing transit line that will meet the needs that are growing in this region, and without which I would submit the region cannot do. Again, there's obviously a lot of issues involved and a lot of different things that were being discussed. But we tried to, respond as best we could to the questions that relate directly to Metro's ability to participate, not in the construction, although we will be partners in the sense, as Mr. Cato pointed out, we're involved all the way through in ensuring that anything that gets built to Metro specifications, but ultimately with the responsibility of operating the line, and that we are prepared to do that if they're prepared to move forward.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you. And nothing else, Mr.?
Oh, I'm done. Thank you, Madam Chair.
The next item on the agenda is the report of the Customer Service Operations and Safety Committee. Mr. Benjamin?
No report, Madam Chair.
Okay. The Finance, Administration, and Oversight Committee. Mr. Graham?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Our committee met on January the 10th. And took the following action. We had before us a request to change the process for selecting external auditing services. The staff requested approval to allow the Office of the Inspector General at Metro WMATA to procure and recommend to the Finance, Administration, and Oversight Committee the external auditing firm to conduct the financial statement and single audit act audits. And I move approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Madam Chair, let me also note that there were some important information items that were discussed at the January 10th meeting. We did have the presentation of the FY09 General Manager's proposed budget at this juncture. The staff presented the proposed FY09 operating budget with revenues of $789 million, expenses of $1.325 million, and jurisdictional subsidies in excess of $530 million. Staff also presented the FY09 capital budget, as it is in draft at this point, which totaled $444.6 million. In the coming months, staff will review the budgets in detail with the committee and meet with the regional representatives. We also had our monthly financial report for October 2007. Staff presented the summary for the operating and capital budgets, debt, and performance measures through that date. Metro Rail ridership continues to grow at a reported 5%. Bus ridership has grown 1% over the same period as last year, and revenues and expenses are 1% better than budget. So a positive, if only barely positive, but a positive report on our finances. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Okay. Report of the Planning, Development, and Real Estate Committee, Mr. Zimmerman.
Madam Chairman, the committee met on January 10th and has one action item to bring forward to the board. This concerns the Silver Spring Transit Center. Staff sought to obtain the concurrence of the committee and the Board of Directors' approval on the amendment of the Silver Spring General Plans and related MOUs with Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission and Montgomery County, Maryland. That is before you in the resolution. I guess it doesn't have a number, but there's a resolution before you that is explained in the more fully in the information summary before it. The committee does recommend its approval, and on behalf of the committee, I move approval.
Second.
Mr. Benjamin?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Madam Chairman, we also had discussion on a couple other items, one important one being the joint development guidelines. For a number of reasons, we were not able to act on it at that meeting. It has been moved to the February meeting, at which time we look forward to bringing it forward for approval. We also had a discussion of the development of the 7,000 series rail cars, which are currently in design, and had a very thorough discussion about issues relating to operations and interiors and as well as other technical questions, and agreed that we wanted to stay close to this question. We look forward to further reports from the staff as they move forward in their development of these plans for what will be a very significant capital expenditure for the agency, but also an important step of sort of the first development of a 21st century rail car here at WMATA. Madam Chairman, that concludes my report.
Okay, are there any questions or comments for Mr. Zimmerman? Thank you. Item 11 on the agenda are administrative actions. Mr. Woodruff, you are on.
Thank you. The first administrative action is to ask the board to ratify an action the general manager took. When we implemented the fare increase on January 6, the window of time for the transfers was left in the test mode, which was 15 minutes. It should have been reset to 2 hours. That was discovered Monday, and it was, of course, switched to the appropriate length of time. However, in that period of time, Sunday and half a day Monday, people riding buses using Smart Trip would have only gotten the transfer in the first 15 minutes between the times, not the 2 hours as it should have been. So to rectify that situation in a very simple manner, the decision was that the following Sunday and half a day Monday, people boarding the bus with a Smart Trip would be allowed to enter the bus, ride the bus at no charge. And that decision was made by the general manager, and we're asking the board to ratify that action.
Mr. Benjamin, followed by Mr. Zimmerman.
I'm moving the resolution.
Okay. Mr. Zimmerman, you had a question?
I'll second, and I have a question from Mr.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Now, your question, Mr. Zimmerman.
Mr. Woodruff, the error here presumably resulted in our collecting revenue that we wouldn't otherwise have collected and didn't intend to collect.
Correct.
And your estimate is that that was for the amount of about?
We estimate the net amount that this cost us was $30,000, and I can go through that calculation.
But it cost our customers.
Well, What we assume happened was that on the weekend ridership, that's usually about 150,000 passengers a day on the weekends, 20% of those would use the Smart Trip. And then on a weekday, the ridership grows to 450 a day, 20% of those, but that was for a half a day. So we calculated that the average cost of a trip is around 70 cents. So that would have been revenue of, these are all approximate numbers, of 49,000, and that we had overcharged people roughly $20,000, so the net was a $30,000 number.
Okay, so 30 is net of what we overcharged minus what we're giving back.
Yes.
And so that is a net number.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, are there any other questions? So, all in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it.
Okay, the second item, we have two things we're requesting here. When the fare increase resolution was adopted in December, on December 13th, it included an increase of special bus fares, 25-cent increase in those fares. Subsequent to that, we received letters from the District of Columbia and Fairfax County requesting that we maintain the existing fares, which in Fairfax County, that's a dollar, as opposed to what was then $1.25, and in the district, it's 75 cents. So we have left those fares at that rate, a dollar in Fairfax and 75 cents in the district, and in both letters, it indicated that the jurisdictions would subsidize the differential. Those subsidy amounts are $350,000 for the Fairfax routes, $741,000 for the DC routes. That's the rate today under the old fares. With the new fares, assuming that the customers would pay the exact same amount, but the subsidies would go up slightly because those using cash would now go to $1.35, the differential between the rate and the subsidy amount. So potentially, this is kind of worst case, the Fairfax subsidy could increase by roughly $22,000 to $372,000, and the District of Columbia subsidy could go up by $48,000. That would be probably the max that it would go up. So responding to those two letters, we're recommending that we approve this, meaning that we leave those rates exactly the same as they were prior to the increase.
Second part to this motion.
Yes, sir. And the second part, I was waiting to see if there were any questions on that part, have to do with tokens. And in the fare increase, staff had recommended that the tokens, sale of tokens to the general public be eliminated. And the logic was tokens are time-consuming to process, to make available, and it was, again, part of the philosophy of moving away from that type of product into the smart trip. However, as indicated in this agenda, several social service agencies approached us, 11 actually came to meet with us, and said that provided difficulty for them because they like the tokens, they can make it available to their clients, and it's a method that they can use to ride the bus. So recognizing that, we are recommending that we continue, and we've done this to date, we recommend continuing the sale of tokens to the general public, which is beneficial to the social service agencies primarily, but we'll continue to look at this issue, and as indicated here, staff would come back to the board in the November time frame, before November of this year, with a recommendation, and what we would be looking at is something that was a single-use type of media, something probably disposable, and of course, that could be used on the bus.
I'm moved.
Well, I think Ms. Hudgens had a question.
I was moving the item earlier.
Okay, sorry. Okay, Mr. Graham?
I move the approval.
Second. Okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Are there any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. Okay. Item 12. I saved my chair's remarks for this time because it's only fitting as we pass the gavel or the baton, so to speak. And as I conclude my first year of service on the WMATA Board of Directors and my tenure as chair, it's actually not even a complete year yet. It's 9 months. I'd like to thank everyone for the warm welcome that I received this year. Throughout the year, my fellow board members and Metro staff did everything you could to indoctrinate me and to make sure that I had everything that I needed, every bit of information that I needed. You answered my questions. You were on call. I called constantly. I called everybody's cell phone. And everybody was responsive. And I really need to thank everyone for not only welcoming me, but to help me succeed in the leadership position here. Mr. Cato said that, and what a year it's been. It's been replete with challenges, and Mr. Cato referred to it as the honeymoon, and let's just say I have newfound love for my single lifestyle. No one said this was going to be easy, and indeed it hasn't been. And we've had so many issues, and in the past year, the importance of safety has been brought home on too many occasions through several serious accidents, some with very tragic results. Our hearts remain with the families of those who've lost loved ones in these incidents. Another challenge that we faced was shifting our focus on being a construction agency to being an operations agency. Early in the year, Mr. Cato went about looking for ways to cut costs and to operate the Transit Authority as efficiently as possible. We left no stone unturned. You left no stone unturned. I think the board, working together, the board did the same thing. This included a reorganization of staff, a reduction in workforce, which unfortunately resulted in a number of employees losing their jobs. And as difficult as this was, it was necessary in order to refocus our mission on providing high-quality, safe transit service to our customers. But change doesn't happen overnight. Our customers suffered through a blight of delays throughout the system, including power failures, track fires, mechanical issues, and door problems. These delays frustrated many riders, and rightfully so. Our riders, our customers, deserve to have reliable service so they can get to wherever it is that they need to go. Finally, we face the challenge of meeting the dire need for operational funding. After much debate, we ultimately approved a fair increase to help keep pace with the rising inflation and to cover costs to operate our system. Placing more of the financial burden on our riders is never an easy decision, and this was no exception. I am hopeful that we can find additional revenue sources to better meet our future financial needs. So yes, 2007 was a year of challenges, but we faced those challenges squarely with open eyes and open ears. We've taken legitimate construction, legitimate criticism and constructive feedback on the chin. And most important, we are responding. I have to acknowledge the work of my fellow board members. I was awed and thrilled to see such an actively engaged board. Each member on this board has really immersed him or herself to guiding Metro. Each member is immersed in the ideals of the authority and works tirelessly to resolve the difficult and painful issues that emerge. I mean, we are all on call almost 24/7. The emails and the calls that go back and forth sometimes are midnight or 1 in the morning and all hours of the morning, because everything doesn't happen between 9 and 5, as you know. And everyone, no one has ever begrudged me for calling at those hours. No one. I've never begrudged anyone else for calling. People just rise to the occasion. So I'm really proud of our team here, and I'm sure that pride will continue as I work beside you in the future. But make no mistake about it, Metro's future holds such great promise. There are many initiatives moving forward that will yield the results that we so desire in the future. Most notably, there's Metro's Safety Improvement Program, which will reduce the number of accidents by half in the coming years. The program will make safety the foundation of Metro's culture. And there are strong signs that the culture is already present. Last week, I attended an event recognizing Metro bus operators who have driven 1 million miles, some 2 million, and some 3 million miles or more without ever having an accident. It's hard to even visualize this, but it's comparable to two round trips from here to the moon. These operators live and breathe safety, and I do want to do more than recognize them and to recognize others who are doing the same thing, and more importantly, to hear that each of the 1 million milers, 2 million milers, and 3 million milers had a representative to who spoke at this occasion, and to hear their comments and the pride that they take in the work and the way they inspire the other drivers, and to sit at the tables. Each member of the leadership team sat at a different table so people weren't all bunched up together. And we got to hear all the bus operators speaking, and the pride that they had in their safe track records is phenomenal. So there are lots and lots of bus riders, bus operators out here who are doing a superb job and who are inspiring others to do an equally superb job. So that's just but one example of the culture of safety that we have and that we're continuing to expand. Recently, the work that the staff did to reduce the incidence of track fires by removing some 3,000 bags of trash from the track beds holds great promise for future improvements in reliability. And I'm also looking forward to seeing, as is the rest of the board, the work of our Deputy General Manager, Gerald Francis, to improve customer communications. I am very pleased with the improvements that we've made to the Metro Access service this year, and I'm looking forward to implementation on door-to-door service and even more enhancements for Metro Access customers in 2008. Our paratransit service is a vital component of providing transportation around the region. I know we spoke with Christian Kent some time ago, and he said to some extent that, you know, yes, there are problems, we are improving, but more and more people are utilizing the services because they have been successful, so we have to do whatever it is that we have to do, even with the increased services, to make it, to make sure that we are reliable, we are on time, and we get people where they need to go. Also this year, we will find new rail cars, buses, and Metro Access vehicles. We'll continue to do vital infrastructure maintenance, like the work done this past weekend at Metro Center. Each new vehicle we put on the tracks and on the road is a sign of our commitment to customer service. And infrastructure renewal will help strengthen the system for generations to come. So, serving as chair and only my first year or first 9 months on the board has been a tremendous learning experience, and some lessons, as we all know, are best or are learned the hard way. So hard-won experience is sometimes the most valuable experience of all. I feel that the lessons I've learned and the ones that we've learned together have indeed been invaluable and have helped and inspired us to chart our course with greater alacrity, focus, energy, and commitment. And I believe that together we will achieve our vision and become the best ride in the nation. And I do want to thank everyone for allowing me to serve in this capacity as chair. And I look forward to working with each and every one of you over the next year. So. Thank you. So with that, I get to call for the election of officers, with the first office being chair.
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chairman, I move the nomination of Mr. Zimmerman for chair of the Metro Board.
Madam Chair, on behalf of the District of Columbia, I'm pleased to second the nomination.
We have a motion and a second to nominate Mr. Zimmerman as chair of the MATA Board of Directors. Is there any discussion? All in favor? All in favor of this wonderful motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The ayes have it. Now, I think I'm supposed to continue with these others. Okay. But, and while we're at it, we need a motion for a vice chair.
Madam Chair? I'd like to,
Mr. Monomy.
Thank you. I'd like to nominate Mr. Graham as vice chair of the board.
Madam Chair, I'd like to second that nomination.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for Mr. Jim Graham as first vice chair, as vice chair of the board. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Congratulations. And finally, for second vice chair, I would like to nominate Mr. Peter Benjamin.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to second the nomination.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Congratulations, Mr. Benjamin. And without further ado, Mrs. Zimmerman, this is all yours.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Hang on
a second. We're not ready yet. The first duty, of course, of an incoming chair is to recognize his predecessor. And I am helped out by, of course, as you saw earlier in the day, what every person gets on leaving the office, as well as more sleep, is a plaque with the gavel. I do want to say that, Betty, I think you had one of the biggest challenges I've seen anyone have to undertake here in coming on as a brand new board member and having to steer the ship as soon as coming on board. And it's not like it was a light and easy year. It was a time of transition to begin with new general manager coming on, some other changes on the board, and a lot going on. And so you certainly were, well, to mix the metaphor, you were thrown in the pool and told to swim. I think everyone would agree that you did so with grace and aplomb and really won the admiration of all of us and our appreciation for helping us through this time. Really rendering a service not only to this agency but to the region. And so on behalf of the board, it's my pleasure to present you with this plaque and your gavel, symbolically speaking, for your time as chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm not going to say very much today. I have more extended remarks at the next meeting about where we're going, but I want to say a few things by way of preface. This is, as I said, it's been a time of transition. I think we're kind of coming out of the time of transition now and moving into more of what I expect will be a regular period moving forward. We've, of course, had changes in the organization, and we have met a number of challenges, but we've also made a number of key decisions recently. In particular, in the past months when we've been out listening to our customers and making the very hard decision we had to take on fares, we've heard a lot. And I know it's been observed by every member of this board, by the general manager, by the Writers Advisory Council, that if nothing else, what we heard from our customers is that they believe in Metro, they depend on Metro, they're willing to pay for Metro, but they have high expectations. They want, they expect, they need this agency to be able to perform, to provide a high level of service for them every single day. To be, as the general manager likes to say, the best ride in the nation. It's not enough for us merely to be better than the other public transit agencies around the country, which for the most part, we are. The standards here are much higher. Metro has always set a higher standard than is typical, and in fact, we are a region full of people who set higher standards. And so we have to recognize that we always have had to meet a higher standard. We will have to, we have to accept that, understand what those expectations are, and plan to meet them. People need to know that the train is going to come into the station on time, and that when it comes, they can get on it. They need to know that buses are going to arrive on schedule. They need to know that our paratransit system works. They need to know that elevators and escalators are going to function. Over this past year, which the general manager has had really to jump in also really jump in with both feet and try to deal with ongoing problems as he had to get used to a new system, he's had to make a number of changes, and he's restructured the organization in many ways. And so in many ways, this will be the first full year that he has the opportunity to run the organization as he's put it together. And so this is an opportunity for us to focus on these challenges we have to provide safe and reliable service and to communicate effectively with our customers. To do that, we have to become a goal-oriented, performance-driven organization from the top down. I'm looking forward to working with all the members of this board and the general manager to develop that plan, and we'll have more to present at the next meeting about how we can do that. But this is, I think, a great opportunity for us, but it is also something that we have no choice but to succeed at. I also want to welcome the newest member of the board, a new alternate from Virginia. You have big shoes to follow, to fill, but you'll have a lot of help in doing it, and that's the good news around here. And I want to welcome the new chair of the Riders Advisory Council, Ms. Iacomini. I think her comments today were right on point in terms of what we have to do, and I look forward to working with them as well. In fact, the first thing I'm going to do before the next meeting is go to the Riders Advisory Council at their next meeting. I believe Mr. Cato will be coming along also, and we can begin talking to them about the goals we have and what we need to do to serve the people of this region. That's enough for this morning. Again, I look forward to working with you all. We have only one remaining item of business. If there are any reports from the jurisdictions, district, Mr. Graham?
No report, Mr. Chairman.
Maryland, Mr. Benjamin?
No report, Mr. Chairman.
Virginia, Ms. Hudgens?
I have no report at this time.
Thank you. In that case, I will move that the board meet in executive session to discuss labor and personnel issues consistent with board procedure Roman numeral 6.3. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Opposed? That motion carries. Thank you very much. We're in closed session.